The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 657, Betty Lynn Fans Remember. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and pick up the 2022 Andy Griffith Show wall calendar. If you like to read, maybe you want to head over and check out Tied Up in Dots, My Dad and Me, an autographed book by Karen Knotts. And as long as you're doing that, what about The Boys by Clint Howard and Ron Howard? Oh, my goodness. Great books available. And you can also pick up a Mayberry puzzle book. There is so much over at Weavers. Head over to Weavers Department Store and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. Episode number 657. The executive producer is Mike McGonigal. Thank you, Mike. And thank you for being here in Mayberry with us. It's always fun to just spend time in Mayberry talking about the Andy Griffith Show. Hopefully you enjoy it as much as I do. And I do want to thank Mike. Mike McGonigal is always in our chat room as Kentucky Mike. So if you see him in the chat room, be sure to tell him hi. If you'd like to be a part of our chat room on Monday nights when I record the show, you can drop by live, L-I-V-E, twochairsnowaiting.com on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And there's usually 30 or 40 people in there. And you'll be able to enjoy yourself and have a good time. I'm Alan Newsom, the host of Two Chairs No Waiting. And again, it is great to be here with you and have you with me. We're going to be hearing from folks just like you. And we're going to hear them tell their stories about Betty Lynn. In episode number 655 of Two Chairs No Waiting, we celebrated the life of Betty Lynn, Thelma Lou herself. And it was a great celebration, I believe, and got a lot of information back that folks really enjoyed that. So during that episode, I had asked people if they would to write in and give their own comments, either with a voicemail or to write to us. So we've got several voicemails. So we're just going to head into that in just a second. And we're going to hear from fans just like you and me telling their memories of Betty Lynn. And then I've got some stories that people had written in, and I'll read those following that. And we're going to be hearing from Randy Turner. I want to go ahead and mention this as we're going. We're going to hear his third part of James Say, his installments he's been doing about James Say. And in it, he's going to say, last week you heard this. Well, that's not Randy's fault. Randy had already prepared that and we had it all ready to go. And that's when we found out Betty passed away. And so that was episode number 655. We didn't do this particular segment. And then last week was Halloween. So we had our Halloween spooky episode. So we're just getting back to finish up the series on James Say. So I think it's finished up. There might be another one, but we'll find out that from Randy as we play through. But before that, let's go and hear from folks just like you with some of their memories of Betty Lynn.
Hey, Alan, this is Danny Vinson. I'm glad you asked us all to call in and say something. I only got to meet Thelma Lou, Betty Lynn, one time. And that was backstage. George Lindsay had invited me backstage at one of you all, the Andy Griffith Show reunions up in Nashville at the Opryland facility. And after the performance, George invited me backstage, and I got to meet them all. I got to meet, probably got to meet you, but in the green room back there. But I'll never forget Thelma Lou. He introduced me. George introduced me. And she said she wanted a hug, and boy, she got one. And man, she hugged tight. That was a good hug. Cherished memories. Loved her performances. Amazed at her resume as an actor. That's a stellar career. Thank you, buddy, for letting us chat and say what we had to say. I miss her already, and I know, buddy, you do. I know you keep your chin up. I'll see you soon. I'll be up in your area not too long, and we'll get together and catch up. Okay, love you, man. Bye.
Hello, Alan. Larry Granger here. Our story of meeting Betty Lynn was at Mayberry Days a few years back. It was particularly warm. We stood in line for an hour to an hour and a half. We were almost in at the door to go into air conditioning, and around the corner, we saw Beverly Dillard waving for us to follow her. So we followed her down around the corner, and we went in a back door. We came out right beside Rodney, where he was signing autographs, and Betty's table was just next to his. And my first thought was, well, we've been pulled out of line. We're not going to get to meet Betty Lynn. But we were able to talk a lady that we'd been in line with to allow us to step in front of her. And we got to meet Betty Lynn. And my wife said, could you sign this picture to Larry and Ann? And she said, my middle name is Ann. And so thus began a great conversation. At some point, my wife said, could you kiss my husband on the cheek like you did Barney? And she said, y'all must have a very secure marriage. And we said, we do. So we took a picture of her kissing me on the cheek. It's, of course, the wallpaper on my iPhone today. And she was a nice, warm, friendly, engaging person. And I think one of the reasons the lines were so long, not just because of her popularity, but because she took plenty of time with each person to talk. We're going to miss her. You have a great day, Alan.
Hello, Alan. This is Pastor Frank Ingram from West Palm Beach, Florida. I hope you and your family are well. I'll make this quick, but I'm sure this happened thousands and thousands of times with thousands of fans. But my first Mayberry Days, watching the parade, I was wearing a Barney Fife Don Knotts t-shirt, and Betty Lynn came along, and I know she looked directly at me and at that shirt. And she put her hands up beside her cheeks and did everything she could to indicate it was clear her love for Don Knotts. And she looked straight in my eyes, straight at that shirt. And as she passed, with her face, countenance, hands, she indicated she really, really loved Don Knotts. And that's something I will never, never forget. So I want to share that memory with you, very special in my heart. Thank you. Goodbye.
Hi, my name is Bob Largent from Wisconsin. I'm just calling to say a little bit about the passing of Thelma Lou. I attended my first Mayberry Days event in 2018, and it was the best event I've ever been to, being a huge Andy Griffith fan. I guess what kind of surprised me was that I had participated in the golf outing that week, and I happened to be in the pro shop because it was starting to rain before the golf event. And I turn around and there's my brother-in-law talking to Thelma Lou, and I was just shocked that she would be in amongst the people like that. Maybe my impression was that she would have a lot of security around her, but she was just like anybody else, and she was more than welcoming all the visitors, and she would give however much time that you wanted to spend with her, she would give it. And I just kind of wanted to say that she was a very gracious lady, very well loving towards her fans, and there's only one way to describe her. She's the Cats.
Hi, Alan. This is Jonna Clark from the Blood Brothers chapter in Macon, Missouri. Thank you for the opportunity for fans to share their stories about Betty Lynn. I'm privileged to share mine. My mom and I were thrilled to attend the Mayberry reunion in Nashville in June of 2001. It was here that we first met Betty Lynn. I admit that our original autograph to snag that time was of Don Knotts, but as you can imagine, his line grew instantaneously. Not that we settled for Betty, but knowing that we would literally be in line the entire session for only Don's one autograph, I decided to make a mad dash for Betty Lynn's table. I was first in line, and we were there as Betty arrived. In true Thelma Lou fashion, Betty greeted Mom and me with a big smile, a "How are you, ladies?" and visited with us for several minutes. We visited about where we were from, and when she discovered we had Missouri in common, she became friendlier, if that's even possible. We talked about living on a farm, and Betty shared that she missed being in the country at times. I remember to get a picture of us before leaving, but Betty and Mom kept visiting. At one point, I was out of earshot, so I don't know what they were giggling about, but I sure wish I knew. I was looking at the usher, was not too happy we were taking up so much time, but Betty didn't care. I remember her telling us goodbye and waving that Thelma Lou wave at us. Mom was on cloud nine, and so was I. In the summer of 2012, Mom had a debilitating accident which paralyzed her from the neck down. I spent almost every day of 4 months by her bedside with the Andy Griffith Show playing on the TV in her room. Even though Mom couldn't communicate verbally, her eyes twinkled when Thelma Lou appeared with Barney. It was during those times I knew Mom remembered our visit with Betty in 2001. I know I feel like all the other fans who met Betty Lynn, but I'm especially thankful for Thelma Lou at one of the worst times in my life. Thank you, Betty Lynn.
Hey, Alan. My name's Tom Fogel from Ohio. Just try to be quick here. I had experienced a great time with Betty Lynn probably 5 years ago, attending the Mayberry Days Festival. Outside the museum, I played a game at the Mount Olive Pickle Stand, won a big giant jar of pickles, about a gallon jar of pickles, then stood in line waiting to get an autograph from Betty, had no place to put the pickles, so I'm carrying them with me. I had got up to see Betty. She saw the pickles and asked, could she have one of my pickles? And I said, absolutely. I talked with her for probably 10 or 15 minutes as she consumed one of the pickles from my jar, and there was people in line waiting for her autograph. Not a bad word was spoken. Everybody just stood in awe watching and talking. And one of my pickles from the Mount Olive pickle jar. So I just wanted to let you know that was a super experience for me, and an autograph and a conversation with Betty about the show, and everything was spectacular. Thanks.
Hey, Alan, this is Cody Sloan, or Carolina Cody, on the Two Chairs No Waiting chat. Just wanted to call and share a couple memories of Betty Lynn. First time I met her, and really the only time I actually personally met her, was at Mayberry Days in 2019. And I remember standing in her line, her autograph line, and I wanted to make sure I got hers first before I went to everybody else. But she was such a sweet lady, and I think everybody that met her can say the same thing. She was so sweet, she was so kind, and really cared about every person that came through her line and wanted to meet her, because she wanted to meet you as well. So I'll always remember that. And of course, seeing her in the parade that year, and then what a blessing it was to be able to see her one more time this year at Mayberry Days in the parade. Even if it was just for a couple of seconds as she passed by, we got to see her, and we know that she got to go to one more Mayberry Days. So just thankful to have met her, to seen her several times, and what a tremendous mark she has left on all of us as a just outstanding representative of the Andy Griffith Show. I appreciate it and enjoy the podcast. Take care.
Well, I just want to thank everybody that took time to call in and leave their memories, because I know for me, you guys hear from me all the time. So it is so fun for me to hear from you with your memories of just how wonderful Betty was. Before I read some of these, I didn't say in the last, when we talked about it before, I don't think I said it during the podcast, but it occurred to me later that if it weren't for Betty, the Mayberry meetup that we have for the podcast was all started because of her, because I went to Mount Airy to interview her and said, hey, let's meet up and meet with one another. And we're heading for our 10th year of doing that. So not only has Betty done so much just to lighten our lives, she actually brought 100+ people together pretty much every year for the last 9 years, and going into our 10th year this coming year for the Mayberry meetup. So Betty was responsible for that as well. All right. So we have some emails now that I need to read for you that are about Betty as well. So definitely, these are great too. I'm so glad folks wrote in with these memories. This is from Jeff Koontz, and he says, we're all sad from the news of Betty Lynn's passing. I was fortunate to get to spend time with her over the years. And I'm grateful so many people in Mount Airy who took care of Betty while she lived there. Here are some of the good memories of Betty. I first met Betty on a cold day in December in the early 2000s at a cast reunion in Danville or Salem, Virginia. I arrived way too early and I noticed Betty sitting by the door smoking a cigarette. It was really cold, so we chatted about the weather. Insert, even the high school kids quote. Anyway, since she was living in Southern California and I didn't expect her to be outside in the cold weather, we were talking about the weather. She told me about growing up in Kansas and being used to the cold and how much she enjoyed coming to different Mayberry events. After she moved to Mount Airy, she met our dog, Rosie, and always asked about her over the years and even called us after she passed away. Claire and I got married in Mount Airy, and Betty was kind enough to accept our invitation to attend the wedding. She really enjoyed sitting next to our friend from Charleston, South Carolina, at dinner and listening to his Southern accent. He still talks about getting a kiss on the jaw from her some 13 years ago. Betty's memory was amazing. She and I were going through a vast array of promotional and other Hollywood photos from her time before and during the Andy Griffith Show, and she had a story to tell about every one of them. Her memory is better than mine because I don't recall any specifics, but was impressed when she started talking about, quote, this movie was directed by blank and his wife, blah, 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 and he also, blah, 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 blah. She remembered so many details. We will always think of Thelma Lou when we see her, but she did a lot of acting in her career. Betty loved cheeseburgers. Her favorites in Mount Airy changed over the years, but the Loaded Goat made the list. Cross Creek Country Club affectionately called her favorite cocktail the Betty. It was a simple drink of scotch on the rocks with a tall glass. And a plate of lemon slices. She never had more than one and just kept squeezing the lemons as the evening progressed. When I went to Franklin Canyon Reservoir, I called Betty about having lunch. She was still living in Culver City at the time. She was not able to join us, but was excited that I was calling her from Myers Lake. In the small world category, I took a FHWA class in Nashville years ago and was talking with the instructor afterwards when he mentioned going to Southwest Virginia next week to see his family. Turns out his mother had moved to Ridgecrest in Mount Airy, North Carolina, and was good friends with Betty. She sent his kids birthday cards and always visited with him and his family when they came to see their mother, Betty did. It was certainly special to call her my friend, and I will miss her, Jeff. So, Jeff, thanks for taking time to write that. Harriet Brower, she's from down, she's the chicken thief in the Who's Been Messing Up the Bulletin Board chapter. She said, I got the sweetest hug from Betty Lynn for her first year at Mayberry Days. I was at the Emporium and spotted her walking towards me. I smiled and stepped over to let her pass by. And she said, you have the cutest dimples. And she reached up with her arms and reached out for a hug. I'll never forget that brief moment. She always seemed so delicate. I was afraid I'd break her with a hug. Fond memories of our sweet Betty at Mayberry Days. And that's from Harriet. So, man, thank you. Now, this one's, we had a special one. You know, we had some information from Eleanor Donahue in the previous episode, 655. So go and hear that. But this one came from Margaret Carey. Now, Margaret Carey was the, she was Bess Muggins and, you know, several different characters, all the same pretty much lady, but different character names. But she was on the Andy Griffith Show and been to many events. So, Margaret had this to say, remembering Betty Lynn. She said, well, we had to give her back. It's always a very hard thing to do, especially if you're thinking about a dear little woman who has touched so many, Betty Lynn. I was aware of her work in film, of course, She came into my life weekly as Thelma Lou on the Andy Griffith Show, and which was to run for a couple of years, but it was a hit and still plays on TV after many decades. But Betty Lynn really came into my life when she and I had the fun of appearing at Mayberry Days in Mount Airy, North Carolina, Andy Griffith's birthplace. We both lived in California and we flew to North Carolina. Betty and I would sometimes be on the same plane. We would talk from takeoff to landing. That cute little smile of hers would blossom when she spoke of Mayberry Days. And the love she felt from the folks at the Andy Griffith Museum and the Surrey Arts Council, not to mention the fans of the Andy Griffith Show, coming by the hundreds all year round. So Betty moved there to Mount Airy and loved it. Those were the chats when I found that we were both showbiz kids. Betty dancing at the very early age. I started when I was 4. Betty had come up through a huge changes of the dominance of film and found herself working in a thing called television. Well, me too. I was cast in 2 episodes, and wonderful Betty Lynn was kept busy with a starring role of Thelma Lou. We watched fascinated as she brought a sweetness along with a determination to be a real friend to Barney Fife. Television is good to us. We can see Betty Lynn's brilliance and charm every day. And that is a blessing. That's from Margaret Carey. So this is from our friend Judy Van Dyke. So Judy says that she says, we first attended Mayberry Days in 2013. We had just met Karen Knotts after her Tied Up in Knots show. And then right after that, we met Betty Lynn for the very first time. I was excited. I had just met Don Knotts' daughter and Thelma Lou in the same hour. I remember immediately afterwards, I had to just step away from everybody for a couple of minutes and have a little cry. But nobody who knows me knows that. But everybody that knows me knows that's just me. And we've been back to Mayberry Days all but one of the years since 2013. No matter how long the line was to see her, Betty always treated you like you were the only one in a room, patting your hand and kissing your cheek and, oh, her delightful laugh. Those are memories I'll never forget. So thankful that she was able to ride in the Mayberry Days parade about 3 weeks ago. And we got to see her. That's an extra special memory now that she's gone. Betty was the epitome of the Mayberry spirit. And I'm so thankful I had the opportunity to know her. I couldn't help but think of Betty's line in the show. The tears on my pillow bespeak the pain that is in my heart. That Barney's line, not Betty's. The tears on my pillow bespeak the pain that is in my heart. Mayberry sure won't be the same without her. I think anyone who's ever met her would say the same. And that's from Judy. Thank you, Judy, for taking time to write that in. And I think I've got at least one more here from Ken Anderson. Ken Anderson said, I am so saddened to learn of Betty Lynn's passing. I sent her a copy of my book. Ken has a book. When it first came out, and she sent me such a nice thank you note. Later, I received an autographed photo from her. She's such a wonderful addition to Mayberry and to that family, and the likes of which we shall never see again. And that's from Ken. Folks, Betty affected so many people's lives, as I said, in so many ways. I am sure there are more stories like this, but I wanted to make sure you heard them. And that we just celebrate again, Betty Lynn. What a wonderful lady. And the impact she had to have people write these stories and to take time to call into the podcast. It's just it's a real blessing. So, Betty, we miss you, but we will never forget. Never forget. All right, guys, let's do just a few trivia questions. How about that? And we'll do that. just so everybody can have a little bit of fun. And then we'll hear from Randy Turner. And if you if the show's running long, you need to stop, you can pause it and come back and watch it later. Okay. All right. Trivia question number one. Mr. Darlin played the guitar. True or false? Question number one. Mr. Darlin played the guitar. True or false? The answer is false. So far as we know, I mean, it's a possibility that he could play the guitar, but we never saw him play the guitar. Okay. All right. Question number two. Number two. What nickname did Barney call his suit? What nickname did Barney call his suit? It's a little hard, but if you think about it, I think you'll know. His suit. What nickname did Barney call his suit? It was just right for dipping. But what did he call it? The answer is the old salt and pepper. That's what he called it. The one I got to touch, by the way. I got to touch it. Where he held out his arm and looked at me like a crazy man because I said, can I touch your shirt? Can I touch your suit? Anyway, y'all, if you hadn't heard that story, there's some episodes going back. If you'll go back and listen, you'll find them in the podcast. All right, number three. This is a fun one. I like this one. On what page of the choir songbook is the song Welcome Sweet Springtime? On what page of the choir songbook was the song Welcome Sweet Springtime? What page was it on? What page? What page was it on? It was on page, pause if you don't hear it. What page of the choir songbook was the song Welcome Sweet Springtime on? It was on page 14A. Good old 14A. Good old 14A. Okay. Number four is number four. A garbage truck and a hook and ladder once wrecked at the corner of Main and what? Was it first, second, third, or fourth street? Okay. A garbage truck and a hook and ladder truck once wrecked on the corner of Main and what's your answer? First, second, third, or fourth? Which one? Oh, you'd want to see that too. Oh, it was terrible. Yeah. So it was a hook and ladder truck and a garbage truck once wrecked on the corner of Main and the answer is fourth. The Main and fourth. All right. Number five. Okay, number five. This is a true or false. Barney can get drunk on sweet cider. True or false? Barney can get drunk on sweet cider. What's your answer there? True or false? I'm not going to give you much time. Barney can get drunk on sweet cider. The answer is that's true. He certainly can. All right, let's do one more. That was five. We'll do six questions and we'll be done. I like to do these or I just keep going, right? How many guns were usually in the rifle rack of the courthouse? That's hard. Ooh, we may have to do one more because that's too hard. How many guns were usually in the rifle rack? I don't know, man. You could have Indiana Steve in our chat room. He got it. Sam Jones. My goodness, they're getting it right. So maybe it's not as hard as I thought. How many guns were usually in the rack of the Mayberry Courthouse? The answer is six. And several in our chat room got it. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have got that. I'm going to give you one more because I didn't know that answer. Okay. All right. Here's the last seven. Number seven. Good old lucky seven. Whose business had a sign which read, "We don't loan tools"? Whose business had a sign that said, "We don't loan tools"? Okay. Whose business had a sign which read, "We don't loan tools"? Yeah, you better get that in the chat room there. The answer is Emmett's Fixing Shop had a sign that said that. And Emmett Clark in our chat room, he got it. So congratulations. Good job, Emmett. I was going to be disappointed if Emmett didn't get that one. So, folks, there are 7 questions from our Mayberry Trivia. I hope you got a good job, or I hope you got a lot of them right, or at least that you had a good time trying. All right, so there we go. All right, so now we're going to hear from Randy Turner with This Week in Mayberry History.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Last week, we saw that after James Say had carved out a career often playing government agents and police officers, he did the same in his first appearance on The Andy Griffith Show, playing Agent Bowden, who first congratulated Andy for catching moonshiner Big Jack Anderson, then was surprised to find Barney, Gomer, and Otis playing jump rope inside the courthouse. Halfway through the same season, season 4, James again played a police officer, this time in Prisoner of Love. James played Sergeant Jacobs of the state police, who had called about bringing a prisoner to be held overnight. Andy had not understood it would be an attractive female prisoner. When Andy told the prisoner this, she said maybe the sergeant hadn't noticed she was a female. Andy responded, "I expect he noticed. I mean, you don't look anything like a boy." Just 4 episodes later, James played a state policeman in Andy's Vacation, in the episode where Barney and Gomer were left in charge and Andy didn't have much of a restful break. James appeared for the last time early in season 5, yet again playing a police officer, this time a state trooper, in Barney's Bloodhound. During his appearances in Mayberry, James continued to appear in a variety of roles. He was in episodes of 77 Sunset Strip, Gunsmoke, The Virginian, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., and Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea around the same time period. He also appeared in comedies such as The Lucy Show and My 3 Sons. During the latter half of the 1960s, James generally appeared in only dramatic roles, appearing in episodes of The Fugitive, Run for Your Life, Jet for the Defense, and the FBI. He appeared in 2 episodes of Sheldon Leonard's I, Spy in 1967 and played a soldier in the 1968 John Wayne film The Green Beret. There was one major exception to this half-decade of dramatic roles. James returned to the extended Mayberry universe to appear in 2 episodes of Gomer Pyle USMC in 1967 and again in 1968. He, of course, played first a police lieutenant and then a military captain. As the next decade dawned, James initially seemed just as active. In 1970, he appeared in episodes of Death Valley Days and the courtroom drama Lancer. He also appeared in an uncredited role in the 1970 comedy western, There Was a Crooked Man. James appeared only once in 1971, appearing for the 5th time in the TV series The FBI, and then dropped out of sight. I've not been able to determine why James left acting so abruptly, but he lived another 12 years before he passed away in October of 1992 at the age of 78. One last interesting point to note about James's career. I've pointed out that he often appeared multiple times as different characters in the same series, just as he did in The Andy Griffith Show, where he appeared in 4 episodes as 4 different characters. First, let me remind you that James first appeared on television in 1952. While he had one last role in a 1971 episode of the FBI, he had actually filmed that role in 1970. So his entire television career stretched from 1952 to 1970. And as I also indicated, one of his last roles was a 1970 appearance in an episode of Death Valley Days. And his first appearance in Death Valley Days? That was in 1952. Between the year he started acting on TV and the year he stopped, He appeared in 13 episodes of Death Valley Days, never playing the same character. Well, that concludes our deep dive into the career of James Say. And that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening. And remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and take Andy's advice, and go out there and act like somebody.
Thank you, Randy. And if you want to make sure you don't miss out on any of the fun things that Randy's doing around the Mayberry community, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com, turnersgrade@gmail.com, and he'll make sure you don't miss out on any of the fun. So thank you again, Randy. Randy's been doing this for a long time for us, and I really do appreciate it. And folks, I appreciate you for being here with me. It's always fun, like I said, to just talk about the Andy Griffith Show. My gosh, we've been doing it for so long here on the podcast. And, you know, I've still got things to talk about. So join me back here next week and we'll talk some more. And I would love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. Or you can email me at floyd@imabry.com. Whatever you'd like to do, I would love to hear from you. It's always fun to hear your voice and to know if you're enjoying what I'm doing or what I'm saying, or if I said stuff wrong, which I'm pretty sure you can find something in the last, I don't know, 30 minutes or so that I said wrong and help me realize I did that. So, folks, again, thanks for being here. I really do thank you, and thanks for everybody that supports the show. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can go to twochairsnowaiting.com and click on the Patreon button and leave a donation. There's also a link down just below that for PayPal. So if you'd like to do it, feel free to. And the music's finished, and I guess I am too. So you guys have a great week, and we'll see you right here on Two Chairs, No Waiting.